This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. R. Kelly heads to court on pornography charges years after the alleged crime. Senator Hillary Clinton fights on for the Democratic nomination, but her campaign is millions of dollars in debt, and more activists protest a beating by police in Philadelphia. Our bloggers are ready to dig into those stories of the day. With us, we've got Jay Anderson. He blogs at AverageBro.com, Meji Alibi, who blogs at AnythingBlack.net, and Shay Riley, who writes at BookerRising.blogspot.com. Hey, folks.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
So let's start with the race to the White House. According to CNN, Clinton says she's within striking distance of getting the popular vote. Jay, do you think the numbers are with her?
The numbers are not with her. I mean, let's just be honest. The thing was over on Super Tuesday. Now you're just kind of prolonging the inevitable. And I really wish, I don't know. I think this shows the weakness of the party leadership. Honestly, you have to, the thing's been over for months. Why don't they just go ahead and have Howard Dean step in and intercede and just have the remaining superdelegates come over? It's just prolonging the inevitable. It's damaging the candidate, the presumptive candidate, Barack Obama, the longer he stays in the race or the longer that this thing, you know, is prolonged. It's just unnecessary.
Meji, let me ask you about money, because Senator Clinton's campaign, according to The Washington Post today, is $20 million in debt. That means not only has she put in $11 million of her own money that she might not get back, but also there are advisors who haven't been paid. And there's also talk of whether or not Senator Obama should actually, you know, kick her the cash and say, hey, you know, here, you know, peace and blessings be gone. What do you think of that?
Well, I don't know. I think she's just wasting her time, you know, like putting her own money in there. I think she should just step out of the race, because if she keeps on, like, once you have to put your own money in, you're not getting any donations, you're really just wasting your time, in my opinion. Like,
Shay,
Obama gets donations.
Oh, please go ahead.
Obama has been getting donations, and he's been getting a lot of money in for his campaign, and he doesn't feel like he has to put his own money in there. So I think she's just pulling their own strings, in my opinion.
Shay, it's funny. You know, here on the show, we get letters from Clinton supporters saying that we're too pro-Obama, and from Obama supporters saying that we're too pro-Clinton. I know we'll get letters about this, but what I want to do to follow up on that money question is that, you know, I talked to someone who was an Obama supporter, and she said, under no circumstances should my campaign donations go to Hillary Clinton. What do you think about that argument, even if it made it easier for Senator Obama to get the nomination if he paid those debts? And this is all speculation, but it's speculation by a lot of political insiders. Do you think that Obama supporters would be unhappy if their money went to pay off Senator Clinton's debts?
I don't think so, because I think they would understand that in terms of their, I would assume, their long-term goal, which is to get Obama, and if not Obama, a Democrat into the White House, they would understand the, you know, that strategic maneuver, if you will. So I think that people would be maybe a little upset in the beginning, but would understand that that's what Obama had to do, if he has to do that, in order to get Hillary Clinton out of the race.
Jay, the West Virginia primary is on Tuesday, and Senator Clinton's ahead in the polls. So do you think that this counteracts your argument that the race is over for her?
The race is over. I mean, how many? There are 40-some delegates, I believe, up for play tomorrow in West Virginia. It's just, again, it's prolonging the inevitable. And I think overall, I know you're probably going to mention the whole soundbite that Senator Clinton came out last week about, you know, the hardworking Americans. And I don't know. I mean, obviously, she'll probably have a very healthy victory tomorrow, but it kind of goes back to, you know, her comments about having the support of hard-working white Americans, as if those are the only people whose votes matter. I don't know. I thought that inference was just ridiculous. I'm not saying it's overtly racist, but there are just some things that are better left unsaid. There may be some truth to it, but you can't just say that type of stuff.
And, you know, please go ahead.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to piggyback off of that. You know, I definitely agree that Clinton, you know, should be rightfully criticized and has been for that hardworking white Americans comment, which implied that, you know, black voters or affluent white voters, educated whites, aren't hard workers. So I certainly understand the offense taken with that. But I think she was correct in that her base of support is potentially broader than that of Obama's. And Obama has not been fully vetted yet. And I think that's part of the reason why, there's some super delegates who are kind of on hold to see how it plays out, even though it looks like Obama will get the nomination because of the pledged delegates and such. But because Clinton has her base of working class whites, Hispanics, and white women, that is potentially a broader base than the kind of McGovern-esque base that Obama has going into the general election. Because black voters, no matter what, are going to support the Democratic nominee 90 to 10 anyway. And that's what Clinton is counting on.
I just
white
really
working
dislike...
class voters
I'm
and
sorry.
Hispanics are more swing voters.
I just dislike the categorization of white voters as working class. They're upper class. They're blue collar. They're middle American. They're NASCAR dads, they're soccer moms. If you're black, you're just black. I mean, it's just, again, it's an insult to the intelligence of the typical voter to assume that, again, a person is genetically predisposed to vote for a certain candidate. I just think, again, that's hilarious. And to consider the fact that this may be a person that could possibly be the president in the fall, I just don't like that type of politics, and I think it's time for us to move beyond that.
Let me get Meji in here. Democrats have struggled with attracting white voters, you know, frankly, for the last four decades. And President Bush beat John Kerry by 17 points with white voters, Al Gore by 12 points among white voters. Even President Clinton didn't get the votes, the majority of white male votes. So do you think that there is just a situation where the Democrats can't, whether it's a winning president like Clinton or a losing candidate like Kerry, that the Democrats can't count on the white vote carrying them to victory?
Well, I mean, my opinion, I think most of the people in this country are, the white people are Republicans, and they won't win off the white vote itself. So Democrats need black vote, they need the white vote, they need a lot of people's votes. And what I was going to say about they're saying about Hillary only being interested in the white vote in those states, I just think that, you know, America's more than white and it's a mesh of different cultures, and she should focus her campaign on all the races instead of just talk about how hardworking people are white. And
I actually want to reintroduce who's talking and what we're doing. This is NPR's News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea, and we were just hearing from Meji Alibi, who blogs at anythingblack.net. This is part of today's Bloggers Roundtable. We've also got Jay Anderson, who blogs at averagebro.com, and Shay Riley, who writes for bookerrising.blogspot.com. And I want to make sure we have two more topics. I want to make sure that we have time to get to them. So, Meji, I'm going to ask you about something completely different. Jury selection finally started on the R. Kelly child pornography case. Attorneys for the prosecution and defense are expected to continue questioning 150 potential jurors. That started on Friday, and Kelly entered the court on Friday to cheers and jeers. It's been 6 years since the R&B star was charged with having sex with an underage girl and videotaping it. That tape was downloaded to the internet, watched by people all over the country. Now, Meji, how old are you again?
I'm 19.
You're 19 years old, so you are in a demographic that where R. Kelly has been around as a recording star for pretty much your whole life. What are people your age saying about the R. Kelly case?
Well, to tell the truth, people think the whole case is played out. It's kind of old. You know, it's been 6 years. I mean, it took him way too long to get to trial. He's been waiting to go to courthouse for, you know, the last 5 years, and I just think most people think he didn't do it, but, I mean, it's clear that, you know, he did do it, and I don't know, I think he probably won't get convicted, but that's just how it is.
Jay, do you think it's that most people think he didn't do it, or most people are willing to forgive a celebrity anything?
Come on, I mean, let's keep it real here again. Yes, he did it. I mean, there's a tape out there. I haven't seen it.
As a reporter, I have to say it's alleged, but
right.
You say
that
you believe.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard of enough people who said they've seen it. And hey, if it walks like a duck, it is probably a duck. Let's just be honest about why R. Kelly is still walking free 6 years later. He's a celebrity who happens to make a lot of other people a lot of money. If this was some, you know, one-hit wonder, like, I don't know, Al B. Shore or something, he'd be under the jail by now. But
I think
not.
Al had at least two hits.
Al had two hits. Okay, Off on Your Own Girl and Night and Day. Okay,
yep.
Two hits. But still, the fact is, R. Kelly makes so many other people money. I think, again, that's what's given him the 6-year pass here and has allowed him to just keep making records. But, you know, it's that's time right. to pay the Pied Piper R&B now. He's going to do his time.
Shay, the alleged victim is now 23 years old, and she says that she wasn't the girl in the tape. So what do you make of that?
Well, I haven't seen the tape, so I can't determine whether or not that is true. But, you know, I've never been an R. Kelly fan anyway, but I suspect that she has... is saying that because of potential negative publicity that would come her way, or she has, you know, been told to keep quiet, so to speak. But, you know, the trial is definitely in the news here in Chicago. It's everywhere because R. Kelly's from Chicago. And to me, how I look at the case, it just seems like it's another example of how alleged perpetrators of crime, especially if they're celebrities, are given preference over alleged black crime victims, especially if they're female. So that kind of raises the cackles, if you will, of my moderate, conservative, libertarian feminism. And another issue is that you don't see many people within the black community who are willing to publicly chastise R. Kelly, you know, for this alleged crime and how that relates to his celebrity and to gender. There were a couple of guys who tried to protest here in Chicago, and they were basically shouted down by R. Kelly supporters who seem to revere his celebrity so much that they're not even willing to entertain the possibility that he may have done this crime.
I want to move on to one last topic. Last week in Philadelphia, a local Fox TV helicopter videotaped at least 12 mostly white officers beating 3 black men suspected in a shooting. That beating happened near an area where police officers were conducting a manhunt. They were looking for a suspect in a bank robbery. 2 days earlier, a Philadelphia police officer was shot to death. Now, Jay, some people are comparing this to, you know, Rodney King. That was back in 1991 in Los Angeles. Do you think it is?
I think it's similar. I mean, again, if you look at the dynamic, you know, the Philadelphia case, I think, and this is just my opinion, there seemed to be a lot more, there's a lot more gray area here. I mean, the 3 gentlemen who were leaving the scene of a crime or may not have been leaving the scene of a crime, you know, it's up in the air as to whether this is a case of mistaken identity. There was allegedly a 4th individual who got out and ran away on foot who may have been tied to a prior police shooting. So, you know, there's so much going on here. But I think overall, yes, it's similar to Rodney King in terms of it being an undeniable case of police brutality. But I think we as a community have to get just as upset about the 392 people that were killed in the city of Philadelphia last year, 310 of which were black men. I mean, I don't know. It's easy to get upset and excited about these things when there's a video all over YouTube. But, you know, is one life any more important than others? I don't think so.
Shay, I mean, how can you talk about this issue and still also frame the crisis of the murders in Philadelphia, the victims in Philadelphia, like Jay was talking about?
Well, I mean, I think we all agree that, you know, that justice should prevail. And in this case, the cops, you know, had their own kind of justice on these men and convicted these men from the jump. So definitely the beating was excessive and there's no excuse for what we saw on that videotape. I think we can still say, hey, this was, you know, a very bad situation, while also saying, I don't see it as an either or. We can also say, you know, look at these 300 and something murders of, you know, black people, black crime victims as well, and also keep our focus on, you know, police brutality when it comes. I don't see it as an either-or situation.
Meji, you're talking to us from San Antonio,
right,
Texas. Are people talking about this, I mean, all the way across the country in Philadelphia?
Well, actually, I think I saw it on the news once in San Antonio. It's not really that big around here, but on the internet, which I'm on, you know, every day, I read about it and I looked at the video, and I think, like, it was a case of, like, street justice, because the police officers lost an officer last week, you know, and they thought it was one of these guys that did it, and it seemed like a premeditated attack, as if they knew what they were going to do before they even got to the car and pulled them out, and they were just, you know, kicking them, like, violently. It looked like almost a gang jumping, but it was police officers. So, I mean, they thought they were above the law, and it was them dealing their own justice.
Jay, we have been talking this month about criminal justice. We're doing a month-long series on criminal justice, and one of the things that keeps coming up is the rift sometimes between communities and police officers.
Right.
And of the irony, of course, that some of the people who probably need the most protection
either
fear the police or feel intimidated that if they talk, they're going to be in trouble with their neighbors. How can we go about healing that divide?
I think, you know, we can't just put the onus on the police. I mean, they are there to protect and serve, and there are unfortunately bad apples in every bunch, and that's what keeps ending up on YouTube. But I think, honestly, that the community has to be more accepting and more open to working with police and just cooperating in general. You know, the tension between police and you know, the people in some communities just, they prohibit that from happening in the first place. So until that rift is cured in some way, shape, or form, you're going to keep seeing incidents like this, and you're going to keep seeing a dishonesty and distrust on both sides.
Shay, just quickly, Reverend Al Sharpton visited one of the men in jail. And do you think that Reverend Al Sharpton's involvement is a positive or negative? Will it raise attention, or how do you think that's going to play out?
Well, you know, I'm not usually Reverend Al Sharpton's biggest fan, but on this one, he and I are, you know, totally in agreement. You know, it will bring attention to the case in terms of how police officers basically convicted these men with, you know, without allowing the justice system of which they're a part to play itself out. So I think his involvement is a good thing. It'll raise attention to the issue. I just hope that he also raises attention about those, you know, more than 300 murders, you know, of black crime victims as well. I think
he can
do both. I'd like to see him do both.
Shay, Jay, and Meji, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We spoke with Jay Anderson, who blogs at averagebro.com. He joined me at our headquarters in Washington, D.C. Meji Alibi blogs at anythingblack.net. He spoke to us from KSTX in San Antonio, Texas. And Shay Riley writes for BookerRising.blogspot.com and joined us from WBEZ in Chicago.